I want to introduce to you Chaplain Captain Joe Ward. Chaplain Ward lives in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and for 20 years, he is still an active pastor. He pastors Tri-City Baptist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And several years ago, we began talking. He sensed God's speaking to his heart concerning the chaplain ministry and has had to do some work there. And the Lord just orchestrated that. He might share some of that, but the Lord just orchestrated that out to where he was able to come into to the chaplaincy program. He serves as the battalion chaplain for the 1092nd Combat Engineers out of Parkersburg, West Virginia. And most importantly, he is the most recent one to return home from a deployment. He has served in Afghanistan on a deployment and has just gotten back here within the last year. So We're looking forward to what the Lord's going to lay on our hearts through Chaplain Ward this morning.
Good morning, students. It's good to be here with you once again. I was telling Dr. Anderson that I was here this past May. Many of you know my daughter Megan, and she graduated this past May, and she's now married and living way too far away to suit Dad. But anyhow, we'll see her next week, so we're looking forward to that. It's also good to see Lauren over here. Lauren Haynes is from our church. You want me to talk about what you looked like when I came 20 years ago? All right, I won't do that then. She was just a little girl, but we're so proud of her, and we appreciate the ministry of Appalachian Bible College. Thank you, Dr. Anderson, for the opportunity to come. Thank you, Chaplain Allen. Brother Mike Allen's been a dear friend of mine. We have, the Lord has just allowed us to serve together up in the same general region for a number of years now, and I count him as a dear brother and dear friend and fellow servant of the Lord, and appreciate the opportunity to come and share with you all here today. But I just want to say, anytime I'm here, thank you for the ministry of Appalachian Bible College. Having pastored here in West Virginia for 20 years now, I originally was born in Huntington, basically grew up in the state. The impact that this institution has had, not just here in our state, but literally around the world, a number of the missionaries whom we support through our church are ABC graduates. And of course, as a pastor, I'm grateful for the ministry the school has had and a number of young people whom we've had who've attended here. And like I said, my own daughter's graduated and Lauren is now here. And so we appreciate the ministry and appreciate the faithful servants here. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I know I need to be careful. I have a tendency to ramble, so we'll try to stick to the program here this morning. What I'll be doing is more of sharing testimony. The thing I want to emphasize to you young people today, and by the way, as I look out among you, the face of those preparing for ministry is no longer just the young student fresh out of high school, but oftentimes many of you have already pursued other careers, and then the hand of God is laid upon you, and you've sensed his call and direction to ministry. And so for those of you who are married with families and you've made the sacrifice to come and train and equip to do the Lord's work, boy, I my hat is off to you, and I applaud you. It's a difficult thing to do. And so thank you, though, for caring enough for the flock of God to be prepared and to get trained. And I applaud you for that. But so when I say young people, I include those of you who may not feel so young anymore as well, all right? So you can take that as a compliment. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 22. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The Lord used this passage to put a burden on my heart, if I could phrase it that way, for chaplaincy. And for those of us who serve in military ministry, we could kind of have our own paraphrase here and say to the soldier or to the sailor or marine or airman or Coast Guardsman, I became a soldier that I might gain soldiers. And this is, for those of us who know the Lord and see military ministry as an opportunity to serve Christ there and to present Him and uphold Him to our military personnel, men like Chaplain Allen and others who know the Lord and love Him, this is kind of like the foundational passage for us. And so to soldiers, we become a soldier that we might win soldiers. My journey into chaplaincy took some strange twists and turns. I was privileged and blessed to grow up in a Christian home, accepted the Lord as a child, felt the call into ministry while I was in junior high school. My family, when I was in high school, moved to Greenville, South Carolina. For those of you familiar, I went to Bob Jones Academy, Bob Jones University, met my wife there, we were married, went to graduate school there. And in 1983, we were married, completed my studies there, and in around 1987, began my first pastorate. And so we were in St. Louis, Missouri for about 3 years. God brought us back to West Virginia, hallelujah, to Parkersburg, West Virginia, Tri-City Baptist Church, and happily serving. And just as the Lord would have it, a mutual pastor friend, who's a dear friend to both Brother Mike and myself, is Pastor Randy Kokersberger, who was recently our state joint forces chaplain. That is, he's the chaplain for the West Virginia Guard, both Air and Army Guard. And for a number of years, you know, he said, "Hey, Joe, you ought to consider chaplaincy. You ought to consider chaplaincy." And I thought about it, but just never seemed to be that burdened for it. And plus, I was too old, so I had a couple things going against me. I needed a few more grad hours, and I was a little old, and so just didn't seem to resonate with me. And then as the years went by, began to have an increasing burden that if the Lord could use me in that way, I'd be happy to do it. I remember he called me a number of years ago, and he said, they've increased the age limit to 42, and I got all excited. But then we found out that was with prior service, and I believe that was about the time Chaplain Allen was able to get in. He had prior service in the Air Guard. I had no prior service, so I was kind of disappointed, but I thought, all right, Lord, that's it. You've closed the door. We moved forward a few years, and back in 2007, my son joined the Army National Guard and did his basic training at Fort Jackson in South Carolina, and I remember we went down to watch him graduate in August. Anybody ever been to Columbia, South Carolina in August? It's not a pleasant place to be. Almost makes you believe in purgatory, doesn't it? But anyhow, it was hot. But we went down there, and on his graduation, there were probably about 1,200 to 1,400 young men and women who came out in rank and file. And as I looked at this the sea of young people, and believe me, I believe in the sufficiency of Scripture and the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture, and I believe God's finished with His revelation, all right? But there was something that the Holy Spirit did in my heart at that moment. And I just saw these young people, and I knew that all of them were probably going to be deploying somewhere to some type of a war zone in the coming years. And I just gained such a burden. Lord, who will be there to tell them about You? Who will be there when they may be going through some of the most trying and difficult times that they'll ever face in all their lives? Who will be there to point them to You? And then and there was just this tremendous burden. And I said, well, Father, if You can use me, I don't know how. I'm pastoring this church. I don't feel led to active duty or anything like that. But if You can use me, I'm willing. That was in August. Remember, though, I was too old. At that time, I'm 46. And the last time they'd increased the age limit to allow chaplains in was several years prior. And it was 42 with prior service. But I began to pray. Just couldn't get away from that burden. And then I remember in October, and those of you who are familiar with government, you know that the new fiscal year for the government starts in October. And our mutual friend called me about mid-October of 2007. He said, Joe, how old are you? I said, I'm 46. He says, when do you turn 47? I said, next July. He says, well, they've just increased the age limit to age 46 for chaplains. I needed several more graduate hours, and I won't have the time to go into it, but the things that God did to just confirm that this was His will, I could just literally take much more time than what we have here. I mean hours. When I got my master's at Bob Jones, I just took a couple of extra courses because I loved this teacher. And had I not had those extra graduate hours, I could not have gotten enough graduate hours to become a chaplain before I turned 47. And it was just things like that. through that period, I felt a real strong leading of the Lord and felt that this was indeed God's will. But at that time, my wife and I have been married 28 years now. And it's one thing for me to say, yeah, I'm going to do this, and sure, I'm willing to go off for a year to wherever. But, you know, I have this life partner, and someone needs to kind of let her know what's going on here, too. And by the way, men, I learned a lesson there. You know, we need to love our wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. And sometimes we may be convinced, well, this is the way we got to go, and we're going ahead full steam. And I had to learn through this process, I think I learned more how to love my wife the way Christ loves the church. And so we had a period of several months of really praying together and really struggling with this. The desire was on my part, but I had to back up and say, now, wait a minute, just because I desire it, does that mean this is what God wants? And so we began to pray, Lord, if it is your will, then please make it clear to both of us, confirm it to us. And if it's not, then close the door, and Father, I'm content with it if it's not your will. But as it turns out, the Lord made a way, and so we accessioned in July of 2008. Chaplain Allen was gracious enough to take a battalion way down here in Princeton and Bluefield area, and I took his battalion up there in Parkersburg. The armory's 5 minutes from my church, so the Lord was good there. But the thing that I learned through all this, young people, and I'm going to share a little more about the deployment here, is just we need to always be obedient to the Lord. And it's one thing for me as a pastor to say, now listen, we need to be surrendered to God's call. We need to be obedient. We need to be faithful. But when God calls, how obedient am I willing to be? How surrendered am I truly to the Lord? And by His grace, though, my wife became very supportive. The church became very supportive. And we embarked on this. This passage was the one that the Lord really used to kind of, as I said, give me a heart and a burden for our soldiers and for those who serve us, especially in harm's way. As Chaplain Allen said, we just got back this past February from a year-long deployment, and we were in Afghanistan. And I just want to briefly here this morning share with you some lessons that you know and that I knew, but yet, when you are able to go through life experience and have them become a greater reality in your life, it's part of our growing process and becoming more like Christ. So I doubt that I'm going to give you anything profound or anything new that you've never heard before this morning. But I hope and pray that God will reinforce His Word in your hearts, because I'm well past the age of most of you here. And so as one who's gone down the road, looking back, talking to those who are looking forward, I just want to assure you of a few things, okay? First of all, God is completely trustworthy. Now, we know that, but do we really practice that? Many of us are struggling with, can I really trust God? And then some of us will say, well, sure, I can trust Him, but how fully are we going to trust Him? In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Paul said, He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. He is faithful. He will do it. And if you take nothing else from this chapel this morning, please know you can trust God fully. You can trust God completely. A lot of young people struggle with trusting their parents, and we call that rebellion, don't we? Well, it's true in our walk of faith and in our walk with the Lord. When we fail to trust Him, it's unbelief, and you might as well call it what it is. It's rebellion. You can trust God, and some of you may be struggling. Well, if I surrender here, if I tell God, you know, I'll do whatever He wants or go whatever He wills, I'm afraid of where He might send me. And boy, what an indictment that is of our impression of God. Do you really think He wants to harm you? Do you really think He wants the worst possible experience for your life? You don't know Him very well, if that's your fear, that I'm afraid to trust Him fully. You need to trust Him completely, because His plans for you are always for your good and for His glory. He told the children of Israel, I'm going to send you into exile for a while, but I know the plans that I have for you, for a future and a hope, for your well-being and your welfare. And I have learned that God assumes responsibility for the care of His servants. And He does a much better job at caring for us than we do for ourselves. And He is completely trustworthy. No matter what your situation or circumstance in life, we can trust Him completely. Another lesson I learned again is that God is completely sovereign, and that is that He's in control. The psalmist said, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all." Now, I had been in my pastorate at that time, I think about 17, 18 years, and the thought of going to the chaplaincy and possibly having to deploy for a year, and then when we found out, yes, you are going to deploy, it was a real test for me to determine, number one, am I going to trust the Lord? Can I trust Him completely? And number two, do I really believe that God is in control here? Because as pastors, sometimes we want to think, this is my church, this is our church. But Peter makes it clear, no, we are to shepherd God's flock. It's His church. And He puts His servants where He wants them as it suits Him to do the work that He wants done. And He knows what needs to be done, where and when and how He wants it to be done. And if God wants to take me as His servant away from my church for a year to go over and minister to a different flock, then does He not have the right and the authority to do that? And who am I to question that? My responsibility is to submit my will to His and say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. And You have the right and authority as my Lord and Master to move me wherever You will to do the work that You want me to do. Now, I have no misgivings about my talents and my abilities and my knowledge. God could have used anyone that He chose on the deployment where I was and doing what I did. But according to His plan, His sovereign will for me, He wanted me there for that time. And it was important for me to say, okay, Lord, I'll obey and I'll surrender to Your will. So for all of us who are called to ministry in some capacity, never forget that He is the Lord of the harvest, and He knows what He's doing and where He's doing it. And we, what a privilege, what a blessing. We are able to kind of get in on the blessing, and God moves us where He will to serve Him, to bring glory and praise to His name. It was amazing to me to see from literally the other side of the world how God is building His church, and it was amazing for me to see just how God was able to care for my church. They didn't need me. They got along great while I was gone, and that's because there's a God who rules on high. He moves in unexpected ways. I've learned that He opens doors and He closes doors. And in fact, Paul in Colossians said, this is how I want you to pray for me. He said, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. Paul says, pray not that we would escape from prison. Pray that God would open a door for the word of God. And pray for us that we would declare it as we ought to declare it. To make it clear. To make it understandable. And whether that's in my pulpit in Parkersburg, West Virginia, or whether that's on some FOB in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it may be, we need to pray for God to open doors for His word to be declared. And we need to pray. I'm excited about the program here at ABC. We need to pray for chaplains who will see the chaplain ministry as a stewardship of proclaiming and declaring the word of God to those who desperately need to hear it. Because I'll be honest with you, many are in it just as it's a job. It's a career. Just like anybody else in any other job. And so the Army doesn't care a whole lot about what denomination or what faith group. They're just filling slots. But from our standpoint, we want men of God, don't we? We want people who love the Lord and know His word, because that's what our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marine need. But He opens the doors and He closes doors. He knows exactly what He's doing. I was so blessed to have some experiences that I never had previous in my ministry. I never had anybody come into my office or come into my church and say, you know I need God in my life. I just don't quite know how to reach Him. Can you help me, chaplain? Well, hold on, let me call somebody. No, I think we can do that. I mean, fruit literally just dropping, just almost plucking by itself, falling by itself from the limbs. I had that happen several times. Many, many opportunities because soldiers, it just seems, you know, a lot of them are young, and a lot of young people make very bad decisions and bad choices in life, and it results in some really bad problems with marriages and homes and families and personal lives. And so sure enough, at some of the most trying times of their lives, they're needing somebody to give them some direction and help. And it just so happens that God had me there to be able to share them, not necessarily what they wanted to hear, but what they needed to hear. And I was able to share Christ, and I saw a number of soldiers accept the Lord as their Lord and Savior. Saw a number of soldiers. For some reason, the Lord put me in a place where over the course of my deployment, I had a number of soldiers who were just young in the Lord. They had accepted Christ maybe weeks or just months prior, and God brought them our way. And so we'd have weekly Bible studies. I was discipling them and helping them to go on. And I'm convinced some of them, God's going to call into full-time ministry here just because of the way they were growing and just many, many opportunities. Not just military personnel, but on a lot of these bases, there are contractors from all over the world. I had the opportunity to minister to people from Uganda, Kyrgyzstan, as well as Afghanistan. Even the Lord brought a special Afghanistan brother my way. And just wonderful, wonderful ministry opportunities. And I just saw again how God is in complete control and we can really trust Him. Another thing I learned is that God is truly our refuge and rock. Psalm 94:22, the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. And I just want to assure you, young people, and I'm running out of time here, no matter what our circumstances, God is able to protect us. God is able to take care of us regardless. I remember hearing Dr. Ian Paisley say once, I am immortal till God is finished with me. And he had, as you know, in Northern Ireland, attempts made on his life. And the fact is, whether you're sitting here in this beautiful building here at Appalachian Bible College in Bradley, West Virginia, or if you're out on a convoy in Iraq or Afghanistan, if you belong to the Lord, you're in His care. You're in His hands. And I found a profound sense of peace and calm assurance just from knowing I'm in the will of the Lord. And He'll do with me as He sees fit, and that's all I want in my life. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, especially those of you who struggle with fear, that the Lord is our rock and our refuge and our defense and our high tower, and we can trust Him. I saw the Lord work in what I would say and describe as miraculous ways to protect the lives of my soldiers. And by His grace, and I give Him all the glory, we didn't lose any of our soldiers in our battalion during our deployment, and I praise the Lord for that. However, and I know my time is winding down, I did have opportunity as a chaplain. One of our privileges, I should say, is to honor the fallen heroes and those who have been killed. And there's, I feel it's important for you all to be aware of this. But one of the most profound experiences I had was to unzip a body bag and look at the face of a kid who looked to me to be 15 years old, but he was 19, and he had just been killed just probably minutes before being brought into the medical center there. I later found out that he was a father. His baby had just been born weeks before he came on the deployment. And looking into that face and realizing that this is the sacrifice that young men and women have made throughout the centuries, well, for two centuries now, so that we can be here today. No one's telling us that, I say this tongue-in-cheek, no one's telling us we have to be here today, all right? Now, I understand you have to be here today, but no one said you had to come to Appalachian Bible College, right? No one's telling us, at least not yet, what we can preach, what we can teach, what we have to believe or can't believe. And I know that the Constitution gives us the freedom of religion, but make no mistake, it's the veterans, it's the service, those who have served in the military who give us that freedom to worship God in America the way we want to worship. And I want you to think of that young medic and the fact that because of his sacrifice, you're able to be here and train and prepare to serve the Lord in the greatest nation in the world. And when you go through these days of Veterans Day and Memorial Day and so forth, don't just feel like you're going through the motions. They mean something. And as a nation, I pray that God never allows us to forget the sacrifices that many have made, that the people that God raised up who were willing to make the sacrifices so that we have the freedom to worship Him, to serve Him as we choose. The day may come when we may well lose that freedom, and by God's grace, I pray that we'll be faithful to Him no matter what. But for now, we need to be thankful for those who have made that sacrifice and paid the price. Just in closing, there were two verses that I kept kind of over my little work area there at the FOB where I was based. One of them was 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. And then another one was 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, having all always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I know that's in the context of giving there, but I believe we can legitimately make a broader application. We can only serve God and do the work that He's called us to do by and through His grace. And His grace is sufficient. When we are willing to put ourselves at His disposal and to surrender our wills to Him and let Him be God in our lives and do with us as He chooses and use us as He pleases, the resulting blessing to us is impossible to calculate or to enumerate. You can trust Him completely. There's no outgiving God. And the path of joy and blessedness in walking with the Lord is just in being surrendered to Him and allowing Him to take our lives and do with them as He sees fit, because He knows best. And that's what results in the greatest blessing to us. Before I left on our deployment, I had such fears, and I really had to struggle and pray with them and giving them to the Lord. Fears for my family. You know, I still had two daughters at home going to school. My wife was going to have everything on her shoulders for a year. My church, what was going to happen? There again, I said, my church. It's God's church, but what's going to happen there? And God provided a servant. Many of you know Brother Bob Spradling came every weekend, and the church just didn't miss a beat, and God provided and protected the church. God took care of my family. God does what God does if we will just trust Him and allow Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. He is faithful. And I'm just here today, just want to encourage you. Thank you for the opportunity. I feel like I've kind of rambled some here today. But I want you to know that we have a great God, and that the best thing you can do with your life is just give it to Him and let Him do with you what He wants to do. Even if you're almost midlife, I had one lady in my church who thought I was going through a midlife crisis because I wanted to become a chaplain, you know, kind of relive the glory days of youth. I assure you, there was nothing like that. This was the convicting work of God's Spirit saying, I have a work I want you to do over here in Afghanistan for this time. And God made a way. And I'm no special, no more special than any of you. And God wants to use you in a way that He wants to use you and only you. And guess what? When you are obedient and faithful and surrendered to His call, you get to be blessed and privileged to be used of God in a unique and special way. And it doesn't get any better than that, does it? All right. Let's have a closing word of prayer, and I'll turn over to Dr. Anderson. Father, thank You. What a privilege and blessing it is to be here with these wonderful folks. Thank You for the students. Thank You for the faculty and staff. Thank You for Your servants here at Appalachian Bible College. Father, thank You for being our God. Thank You for laying Your hand upon us and bringing us to Christ. And then, Lord, thank You for calling us to serve You, for giving us the wonderful privilege and blessing of serving the God of all creation, the Most High God. I pray, Lord, that You would be able to take these experiences and Your word, which we've shared today, and use it in the hearts of those who are here, that Your perfect will might be done. Bless and honor Your word, for we pray and ask it in Jesus' name.